The movie, starring Scarlett Johansson, on the other hand, is a bit silly, though she's divine as Lucy. But she does pose an interesting question. Do we use only a little of our brains? And what if we use the lot? Katie Silver reports.
100 billion neurons per human, of which only 15% are activated. There are more connections in the human body than there are stars in the galaxy. We possess a gigantic network of information to which we have almost no access.
Excuse me, sir?
Yes.
But what would happen if, for some reason we ignore, somebody unlocked 100% of the cerebral capacity?
100%?
Yes.
I have no idea.
This is Morgan Freeman's character in the new film, Lucy. The idea that we only use a fraction of our brain's potential is one of the sassiest ideas to hit science and Hollywood since it was first coined in the late 19th century. Philosopher and psychologist William James first posited the idea after he managed to raise a child prodigy, William Sidis, to have an IQ of more than 250. The concept then really gathered steam about four decades later when American writer Lowell Thomas, using a liberal dose of poetic license, wrote that James had put a specific number on exactly how much of our brain we use.
10% may not seem like much, but it's a lot if you look at all we've done with it.
Morgan Freeman plays a neurologist who agrees to help Scarlett Johansson's character navigate her newfound human abilities after a drug unlocks all her untapped brain function. But how much truth is there to this idea? The short answer is not a great deal. While it's likely we have unutilized brain power, it seems the 10% figure was plucked from thin air and is a gross overestimation. Still, we know very little about how our brains work, and it's something scientists the world over are looking to remedy.
All of the programs are different, but they're all the same as well.
Professor Bob Williamson from the University of Melbourne organised a think tank on the brain in 2013, which produced a report called Inspiring Smarter Brain Research in Australia. It recommended a substantial government investment for a research unit called AusBrain.
Our program is oriented much more to outcomes. The way in which studies on the brain relate to mental illness, relate to MS, relate to Parkinson's disease. However, at the end of the day, everyone is going to be focusing on the two really big questions. How can we use this information to get good results for people who are suffering from dementia, suffering from mental illness, suffering from any of these terrible conditions that actually have their origin in brain dysfunction? But the other really interesting question is, can we understand what's going on in the brain when we love someone, when we listen to a piece of music, when we read a play or a book or a piece of poetry? It's understanding what makes us human that is such a fascinating question.
Henry Markram leads up the Blue Brain Project and the Human Brain Project. They're two of the largest endeavours underway to revolutionise our understanding of the human brain.
It's beautiful, the brain. It's an incredibly complicated structure. All these neurons and fibres, it's a very different looking machine.
With funding from the European Union, he's attempting to build a brain to simulate what happens with various diseases.
What becomes very complex is the emergent properties, because we look at these amazing things that come out of the brain and we try and understand them. I think what we have to do is realize that there are ways to make what appears to be a complex problem tractable.
Meanwhile, in California, Ralph Greenspan is trying to improve upon magnetic resonance imaging in mapping how brain cells interact.
Our goal is to be able to achieve higher resolution where we can see, if not every cell, at least small groups of cells, and know how information is flowing through the brain, and also to be able to do that in real time at the millisecond scale that brains operate at. Think of how long it takes you to recognize the face of someone you know when they walk in the room. It's instantaneous. That's something we want to be able to capture.
It's a competitive, high-powered and exciting field of science, and Australia is set to be a key player. Bob Williamson says it's a mix between competition and collaboration.
everyone in brain research is going to want to be the first person to understand what goes wrong in dementia, to understand what goes wrong in depression, to understand why it is that one bit of the brain lights up when you hear a beautiful piece of music. Everyone is very keen to have the resources to collaborate and to be able to put things together and engage with the best groups in Europe and with the best groups in America and now with the best groups in China and India, because these countries are developing their science as well.
One of these meetings will happen in Brisbane to coincide with the G20. These competitive collaborators will meet for the first World Brain Mapping and Therapeutic Summit. Top scientists will be coming from all over the world to work together as a global movement to advance our understanding of neuroscience. It's a most exciting time.
Katie Silver, brains of the G20. Did you know?